Hi, everyone. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Welcome to Yoga, Birth, Babies, a podcast produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. We will be diving into everything prenatal yoga, birth, and baby-related, hoping to inspire, educate, and empower you through your journey into motherhood. Thank you for listening.
Hi, I'm Deb Flaschenberg. I'm your host for Yoga Birth Babies. And today we have a community birth story. Oh, what an empowering birth story it is. And it's what a trajectory our guest had between finding out she was pregnant and looking into the birth world and making decisions and owning her birth. And she really opens up about being vulnerable. And so I have one of our past teacher trainees, Hedy. Okay, I'm going to try to say her last name without butchering it. Yankovic. Sorry, Hedy. I tried. I wrote it phonetically. I totally butchered it. But not my best moment. But Hedy, she and I've watched her whole pregnancy. I believe I was the first person she told she was pregnant at 4 weeks. And then she did part of our teacher training. Well, not part. She did our whole teacher training. And then she went off to have her baby. And it was amazing watching this and watching her grow and learn. And I felt so honored that she then shared her birth story on Yoga Birth Babies because it was empowering. And she also really opened up about some of the challenges that she faced and she gave some great advice. So thank you so much for listening to this. And then every podcast I've been saying this, but if you're interested in our teacher training, check out our website, prenatalyogacenter.com. I have information about the teacher training as well about my online course, Who's Afraid of the Pregnant Yogi? So you've been hearing me saying it over and over, so I won't go into all the details, but check it out. And without further ado, we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to come back and talk to Hedy. Hi, Hedy. I am so excited to speak with you. How are you?
I'm great. So excited to be here.
I know. I have to admit, I love the community podcast. I just did one this morning that was pretty, you would actually like it. It was about the Franklin technique and the abdominal muscles and pelvic floor. So I'm sure you'll like it, but I can switch more to like just two mama talking brain. which is really fun. So I'm super excited. So listeners, let me give you a little heads up. So I've known Hedy since she just found out she was pregnant and she now has, how old's your son?
He is 3 months.
I can't believe it because I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, I'm one of the first people that found out you were pregnant, right?
You are. I called to sign up for the training the day I found out that I was pregnant. So I was like, I just have to tell you, you're the first person I'm telling, but I am pregnant. Is that okay? You were like, oh my God, you were very excited.
Yeah. So for me, this is super, again, I'm not trying to be selfish, but for me, this is so exciting because I've seen you through this trajectory of like, okay, I'm pregnant and and now you're learning all this stuff and then you're having a baby and now you're on the mamahood side. So I'm so dying to jump into just to hear about everything. So before we get into your story, just tell our listeners a little bit about you.
Sure. I'm from New York, born and raised in Queens.
Raised in Queens and yet you went to camp. Oh, also Hedy and I went to camp together. I don't think we're ever there at the same time, but we went to this little Jewish camp up in
New Hampshire.
In the heart of New Hampshire.
In Amherst, New Hampshire.
How did you find that place?
It was through family friends, like friends that I grew up with. They are just very connected in the Jewish community, and that's where they wanted, like, their kids are the same age as me and my brother, so we just kind of followed their lead. And this summer, my brother's son, who's 9, is going there.
Oh my goodness, it's trickling down. Oh, how funny.
He was trying on the YJ shirt, and I felt this, like, little, like, pang of jealousy, like, my God, I had the best days of my life.
Did the shirts change?
They changed. Okay. Yeah, they're much cooler now. They used to with the
blue collar.
Yeah. Oh my God. I hated wearing it.
All right, so I totally interrupted you because when you said Queens, I'm like, well, how did you end up in New Hampshire?
I know. This like little girl from Queens goes all the way to a Jewish cabinet and like 5 hours north, you know. But yeah, so that's where I'm from. And oh my goodness, my life has been kind of all over the place. But now I landed as a yoga teacher and Franklin Method movement teacher in New York City. So yeah. Yeah. And now I have a baby.
And now so, you're a mama.
I'm a mom. Like that is definitely like number one right now. And which I never really knew that this would be my life.
Did you foresee yourself having kids?
Honestly, I really didn't. I couldn't really see it until I met my partner, the father of River. So when I met him is when I kind of like shifted my perspective on having kids. But I never really saw it until I guess the past 2 years.
Interesting.
Yeah. I know. And it's funny because like I have a great family. I love my brother. He has 3 kids. So like I'm around really positive family lives, but I just, I don't know. I love to travel. I love my freedom. So having kids just wasn't really on my agenda, you know?
Yeah. And that definitely takes away some of the travel and the freedom. So I know your trajectory, and so especially if you weren't really in the realm of having kids, like it's for some people, it's all they've ever wanted. I was not that person personally. I was like, you know, as a performer, like kids, can't really. Yeah, you know, so I get it. And then for me, I got into the prenatal yoga, and then that actually is what sparked my desire to have kids. So you know, you found out you were pregnant. You literally, I think you took the last spot. And I'm like, I need to know today. and you jumped into 2 different worlds. Like you started really studying birth while being pregnant and discovering your own pregnancy and what that meant for you. So there, you know, so it's a lot happening at once. So as you were diving into discovering birth, because, you know, our training's not just like, let's modify some poses. You know, we dive in. How do you think your perception of birth changed when you went into really discovering the reality of the birth culture in the U.S.? Because it was probably a lot to take in while you were facing.
Yeah. I feel like I was hit with like a ton of bricks of like when I started the training. I was really interested in the training because of the childbirth ed part of it, like that it's such a big part. But I realized as soon as we got started how little I knew about what was about to happen to me or what was happening to me, both physiologically, but then the whole birth world, I had no clue about. I had no clue until that training. And I mean, you saw my tears.
I cried.
I was like, what? Like, how can, I mean, I'm sure we'll get into it, you know, along the interview, but I just had no idea the challenges that I was going to face to have the birth that I didn't even know I would want until the training. So
it's a little scary or overwhelming just to kind of pull the curtain back. And I think, unfortunately, I mean, you had the, I'm not, I don't even know the word for it, like the perspective or the opportunity to dive into this handed to you. Like we literally like, this is it. You're going to learn it. And a lot of people discover the birth culture on their own through it. You know, they might not really understand it until like late in their pregnancy. Then they're like, I have no choice or my choices are limited. So as scary as it could be, in a sense, at least you got the veil pulled back kind of early.
Oh, I'm so grateful because I don't know what I really, how deeply I would have dove in if it wasn't for the training. The first book I read was Ina May's book, and that changes everything for me. I was like, oh my God, like I have to go to Tennessee. I have to go to the farm. I can't be in a hospital. I mean, I actually came home and I said it to Gareth, to my boyfriend. I was like, what would you think about me having a baby in Tennessee. Would you, you can learn how to farm and I'll go live with the midwives. And he was like, well, okay. Like we could talk about it, but maybe let's look at the birth center. We're doing it in, I'm like, okay.
Let's We're not going to cross state lines.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it did sound kind of interesting, but we worked it out. We didn't have to cross state lines to do this. So yeah, the training opened my eyes. It really opened my eyes to a whole other world. And
so compared to like, so when you've, I mean, granted you literally were pregnant and then I'm like, here's the book list. So did you have some idea what a typical birth would be like in a hospital? And then as you were learning about it, how did those two conflict?
To be honest, I never really thought about having a baby at home. It wasn't, I knew one person who had her baby at home, and that was 7 years ago, 6 or 7 years ago. And so all I really knew about having babies was you get pregnant, you go to the hospital, and either the baby comes out through your vagina or you get a C-section and then you have a baby. Like, I didn't know I had options really. And I just didn't think about it. I just knew of what I saw on TV. And really, like, what my sister-in-law, you know, went through with her three kids, and they were in hospitals. And so I didn't know that really being at home was an option, or at least I didn't really consider it. Mm-hmm. I didn't consider it for myself until I started.
And so you started really studying. So if you can paint a picture, what was your – never paint a picture. Go into as many details as you want. So what was your pregnancy journey like?
My pregnancy, I felt really blessed because I had a great pregnancy. The first trimester, I didn't get sick. I was tired, but I was okay. Like, I really, Gareth thinks I was a little bit mean, but that's because I was tired and my hormones were shifting and stuff. But after that, like, I was energized. I walked so much during miles a day. To every class I taught, I would just walk. I had energy. I felt full of life. I love feeling the baby kick. I slept well. I ate well. Like, everything was really good. Like, my nails were growing long. My hair was growing thick. I felt like full. I loved my body, which honestly, like, that was really nice to feel so body positive through it and mm-hmm. and to be growing like bigger and loving it. And so I had a great pregnancy physically. Learning about the birth, that was also very interesting. Like, I dove in deep. I wanted to know everything about having a baby, like actually birthing a baby, especially when I decided to have a home birth. But and the hardest part really was like struggling to get what I wanted when I decided that I wanted the home birth. So that created a lot of frustration for me and a lot of tears. But I mean, all in all, it was a great experience being pregnant, which I was kind of like waiting. I was like, when am I going to feel crappy? You know, because I've heard so much like it's crappy to be pregnant. Like, it feels like your back hurts, your this hurts, you're sick. And I didn't feel that. So
that's really great. So I want to ask, because I remember there were some tears. So yes. Do you remember what that was about?
I do. When I decided that being at home, or at least in a birthing center, was the way I wanted to go, and I started calling my insurance company, I realized that it was not possible without shelling out a lot of money I didn't have. I mean, it would have cost out of pocket like $10,000 to do a home birth, while being in a hospital would be fully covered. And I'm like, that's crazy. I would call the insurance company like every other day. I'm like, you know, it's a lot cheaper for you guys if you let me do this at home, if you pay for it. And they didn't care. I mean, they weren't, the agent on the other line wasn't really interested in that. So the tears were coming to terms with having to be in a hospital, actually, Because when we circled up and I cried, that's when I was like, okay, I have to be in a hospital. There's no way around it. I'm pretty sure that's why I was crying. And in the end, I sorted it out. I changed insurance and I found a midwife that took it. So
what was the tipping point that had you embrace, okay, I need for my mind and being and comfort, I need to start this, at least start at home, because you never know where birth's going to end
right.
up, at least to set the stage that it'll be at home.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because I guess I actually would have, the first choice at that point was a birth center. But then I heard all these things about, you know, you can risk out so easily and they're very low on staff. And I was like, you know what? I don't want to get there and have to be brought into L&D for no reason, you know, for like if I don't need to be there. So I'm like, you know what? Let me do this at home. If all is going well in my pregnancy, if I have no problems, no diabetes, no this, no that, like, why not just be at home? Why get in a car in the height of my labor? Why, instead of just having everyone come to me? And, you know, I had to get over like a little bit of the fear factor that was around me a lot. You know, I would tell people, I was very open about it, that I was going to do a home birth, and I would definitely get a little pushback. but in the end, like I just decided that was the environment I wanted to be in. I wanted to be in a peaceful, dim lit, a quiet place. And a hospital was not the place for me.
I think the whole thing I can relate. And I've heard this, and I've talked to a lot of people that, at least in New York, that have decided to do home birth. Many of us, and I'm putting myself in that category. Mm-hmm. If there was, so years ago, there was a freestanding birth center, and right. It was hard to get wrist out. You know, it's not like what's right. in Sinai West now, where it's, you know, the unicorn that gets to go in there.
Right.
Wouldn't it be nice to have a birth center that it wasn't about fear and anxiety, can I get in, but truly have the home birth experience within mm-hmm. a hospital setting? That Absolutely. Would be amazing. That is what I wanted, and having yeah. been a doula, I didn't trust, just like it sounds like you, I saw enough people that they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to do the birth center. And then maybe 5% of those people actually got to do it. So it's just such mm-hmm. a shame that that's not much of an option where we try to educate people about all your options to birth, at least in our area. And this is not, you know, this is many people listen to elsewhere and may have it available, but it's a huge shame that we have to be on two sides of the spectrum and that we really kind of mm-hmm. lost that middle road.
I the middle road would have been the way to go. You know, I think, yes, because there is a chance something could go wrong, you know? And, you know, when I would think about that, it was a little scary, like, oh my, like, how could I live with myself if, you know, I chose poorly, you know, and something happened to me or the baby, like, but, and so it kind of sucks that I had to make the decision that to be at home instead of being close to, you know, medical, mm-hmm. You know, doctors if I needed them.
So yeah. You found, all right, so you changed insurances. So I'm just trying to get in my head.
Yes.
And then what week were you able to secure a home birth midwife?
Let's see, at 20 weeks, which, so around 20 weeks is when it was 20 weeks that the insurance company told me they were switching me to Medicaid because I was now supporting two, me and baby. And then once they switched me, I was like, let me just look into the midwives again. And I found a few that actually accepted Medicaid. And I was through the roof. I was so excited that I had options now.
And then you had a midwife available because there yes. aren't a ton in New York. No. And so they book up quickly.
Yeah. And I had a great midwife available. So
who did you use?
Kara Mulhan.
Okay, yeah. I did a birth of her forever ago, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's interesting, like, at 20 weeks, I had my doctor's appointment, and I had actually said to her, you know, I wanted to hear what she would say, even though I was going to do what I wanted anyway at this point, but I was like, you know, I'm considering switching to midwifery care and, you know, I'm doing this birth at home. And she was like, well, I'm not going to tell you you're crazy, but if you were my sister, I would tell you you're crazy. I would tell her she's crazy. I'm like, okay, I gotta go. And I had them transfer the file, you know, my paperwork, and that was it. Done. I didn't see a doctor since that visit. Yeah.
So how did your family and friends react when you explained you'd made that shift?
So the good news is that I had done a lot of research before I really started spreading the word, so that when they had questions, and they all had questions, the first thing was, are you sure it's safe? You know, and then I was able to give them some stats and my reasons behind it. But once I started to explain my reasons, people got on board. The most important was to have my family on board. Mm-hmm. Gareth was on board pretty quickly. But then I needed my parents and my brother. I just wanted them to back me up. And they were okay. Yeah. Like, I sent them a lot of reading to do. I'm like, don't just Google it, because if you Google it, you're going to get
some scary things.
Scary things. So I'm like, read this and this and this. And then, you know, at least you have the other side of the story. And once they did, they were like, all right, we totally get it. We support you. And like I said, either way, I was going to do it.
Right. But it's nicer to have your family support than have to be like, okay, you maybe kind of get it, but then maybe passive aggressively, they're going to make comments. So I'm really glad they're on board.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I really wanted to avoid fear. I didn't want the fear of the doctors around me, the hospitals around me. And if your family is fearful, it will come out, you know, and they're, you know, that's why it's really good to do your research so that you can back up, you know, if they're afraid, you can be like, well, this should kind of quench that.
Yeah. Cause as the birthing person, of course you always, you know, there's going to be fear. Like you said, like, did I make the right choice? And you don't want to have to support your fear while calming theirs. Like they should be supporting you.
Right. And I, you know, it was like my gut, when I really quieted down and I asked myself what I wanted and, you know, I had a few conversations with the baby in the belly and I'm like, you know, can we do this? And everything was saying, go for it, go do the home birth. It's going to be fine. It really is going to be fine. So I just listened to that. And I watched Call the Midwife. Every episode, every season, I'm like, oh, it's totally possible.
I want to hear it. Tell us about your birth. I love a birth story.
Oh my God. As like up until today, I think it's my favorite story of my whole life. Just, I mean, because it's a big thing to birth
a huge
baby.
Thing.
I didn't really realize it until it happened. And, I actually had contractions the night before the baby was born. So let's say it was that Wednesday night. But they were pretty mild. Like, I knew they were mild because I didn't even wake up Gareth. I, you know, felt a little pain. It felt kind of like a cramp. And I breathed through it and I went back to sleep. I'm like, this isn't labor. And again, this is from knowing, like, doing my research, that I knew that, like, first time labor, that those mild contractions, you still got a ways to go. The next day, I had a few contractions, but I got my nails, I got a pedicure, I went to the grocery shop, I walked around, and it was funny. I was coming back from my last errand, and it was maybe around 4 o'clock. I was a block away from my apartment, and this one contraction stopped me in my tracks. Like, it was the first time I actually had to stop, and I was like, ooh. And there was a homeless man right there, and he goes, he's like, ooh, that baby's coming soon, isn't it? I was like, it is. And I was like, I think it really is coming too. So I got home and I told Gareth, I'm like, listen, I'm having some more contractions, but nothing to worry about. We got time. This is, first birth. We got loads of time. It could be days from now. So, he comes up from work and he starts putting some string lights around the rooms, in the living room, the bathroom, the bedroom, because who knows where the baby will come. And we put the cover under the sheets on the bed, the plastic mattress cover. Mm-hmm. And by the time all that was done, I was starting to have more regular contractions, but I can still kind of talk through them. I actually was making soup. So I was still okay. And I sat down, we started eating the soup, and then the contractions started coming quicker, and I knew that something was up when I couldn't finish my dinner, because I always finish my dinner. And they started coming on really quickly. I mean, they were maybe 5 or 6 minutes apart, all of a sudden, and I couldn't really stand up. I was just on my knees, leaning over onto the couch, but I can still kind of talk in between the contractions. We called the doula and she was listening to me on the line. She's like, okay, they're kind of close together. Let's see if they stay steady for the next hour close together. And then they got closer. I mean, they were 3 minutes apart regularly and they were very painful. And it just so happened that a friend of mine, the one friend who had a home birth 7 years ago, was in from France and having dinner across the street. And she texted me and Gareth, oh, I'm across the street. I can pop in and say hi after dinner. And Gareth is like, Hedy's having contractions. Maybe it's a good thing you're there. Can you come over? And so she came in and she was at around 10 p.m. and she's like, where's the doula? I think this is happening sooner than we think. And so then the doula was there in the next 10 minutes. And we were also talking to the midwife and she was listening to me. She's like, oh, that's a good contraction. And 2 minutes later, I had another. She's like, oh, that quickly, that close. So she was here in 20 more minutes. And during that time, they got me in. They were like, let's put her in the tub to see if it will slow things down, because mm-hmm. sometimes water will slow it down. And I was like, how am I going to get to the tub? I mean, this is a New York City apartment. It's not that far away. But I was like, how am I going to make it to the tub? So the doula was like, at the end of your next contraction, we're going for it. So on my way to the tub, I'm taking off my clothes and, the tub is already filled. My friend had filled it. And I don't actually know who filled it. Maybe Gareth, maybe Isabel, somebody. My eyes were closed most of the time. But I got in the tub and it didn't slow things down, but it just put me, it was so nice to sit in water, mm-hmm. warm water. And the rest, it was crazy. The contractions were nonstop. They were just nonstop. There were some that I felt it end and the next one came right away. And I'm saying to everyone, when am I going to get the break? Where's the rest? When can I be? They're like, when the baby comes.
You hit transition. They were just boom, boom.
Yeah. There was no pause. I had a few, maybe a minute in between some contractions, but it was very fast. And, I threw up at some point and it was funny because I knew I had done so much research about birth, I threw up and I was like, yes, I know it's close.
You remember we talked about that in training. I was like, yes, I love as a doula. I'm like, transition's awesome as a laboring woman. Yeah. There's vomiting, there's rectal pressure.
I mean, there was one point, I'm just going to be like, why not just tell the world? There was one point I was like, everybody out, I have to poo. And they were like, well,
that's
maybe
your
just
baby.
Push me. And I was like, no, I want to go to the toilet. And they were like, you know what? Give her privacy. It's fine. And everyone got out. I sat in the toilet. Gareth actually stayed in the bathroom with me, which I was surprised about. And I went to the bathroom and then I got back in the tub. He was like, I'm not leaving you. That baby may come out in the toilet.
Yeah, seriously.
But I really knew what I needed. I needed a little privacy. I needed to be on the toilet, whatever I it was amazing to be in such a primal state, but mm-hmm. also knowing like I'm okay. Like I wasn't scared at any point. No, wait, I take that back. Before the midwife got there, when the contractions were so strong, I couldn't feel the baby move. I wasn't feeling the kicks because I guess it was just happening fast. So I was like, is he okay? And then Kara put the Doppler on me and we heard the heartbeat. And I was like, okay, I'm okay. Baby's okay. We're good. The pain was really unbelievable. It was so just like an isolated pain. I didn't have back labor. I didn't want anyone to touch me. If anyone even put their hand on my back, it made the contractions worse, which I was like surprised about. I was ready, you know, for give me the counter pressure. I want the massage, and I didn't want anything. And everyone was so amazing. They just sat back and watched. Mm-hmm. You know, as now I understand, you know, labor really could be like that, you know, just the woman and her body and the support. Like I needed to know that everyone was around me, but I just didn't, you know, and I would grab a hand when I needed it, but I didn't need any hands on anything.
I love that. I just, you know, yeah. You've worked with me enough to know, like, I call it like your birth posse, and where they circle the wagons to give you that space. So when you need them, you grab them. And when you don't, they're just holding that space for you. It is one of the most beautiful, open, sharing, vulnerable moments when it really comes to just, it's almost like time is suspended. That's how I always felt as a doula.
Yeah.
Is that I could look up and hours pass because we're just all there in this time suspended moment.
It's a bubble.
My heart's like, listening to this.
And like, I mean, I had no idea how much time was passing. The funny thing is, so even though I knew things were progressing quickly, like I never, you still don't know, like how long is the pushing stage going to be? Right. Mm-hmm. So, cause I've heard it could be 4 hours. And so Isabel, who my friend who was there, who had the home birth, her labor was 30 hours, very similar to your very long. So every time I would open my eyes and see her, I basically just saw like 30 hours written on her forehead. And I'm like, oh God. And so I would say to the midwife and I'm like, how much longer is this? How much longer? And they're like, they didn't want to give me a time because who knows really. And so they were like, you're doing great. You're doing great. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. So they were good at managing my expectations. But then, right, I felt the transition, which was like, this was, I think, the craziest part. And what I didn't really fully understand from the reading is that the pushing stage isn't you necessarily pushing. It's your body that starts to push.
It's like expels your baby.
Yes. Like my sounds went from like, you know, low, like groans to like growls. I was it was so animalistic that I was shocking myself that I could even make these sounds. Cause honestly, like it took me years to even om as a yoga teacher. Like I am not like a loud vocal, you know, and so it just came, like those sounds came out. I'm like, oh my God, like my body is going to push this baby out no matter what. Like,
remember my saying, open throat, open vagina.
Yes, yes. Oh, Deb, you were there. You were like right in the room with me. Oh my God.
I was so proud of you. You owned your voice. Yes.
It was so wild. And so then it was around this time where Kara asked me like, do you want me to see if I can feel the baby's head? Like, it was amazing that she asked, you know, from what I know, like in a hospital, they would pretty much just go right in. And I hadn't been checked. She didn't check me to see how far dilated I was, not once. And because why? Like, why would they need to check me when like, I'm obviously in labor?
And you're making progress. They can see through your emotional signposts, the way your body's moving, the sounds you're making.
And like they, you know, for them, they weren't like, we're on it. They would have been there for the next 20 hours if need be. Like, they weren't, you know, they had their snacks. They, you know, they were good to go. There was a point where I was like, ooh, like, are they, like, my conscious brain came in, my, like, already nurturing. I'm like, are they going to be okay? Like, if this goes long, and then I'm like, forget about them. This is about me. But, so she asked if she wanted, if I wanted her to check to see if she can feel the head. She's like, it may help, you know, help this move along. Like, you know, and so I was like, okay. I asked, will it hurt? She says no. And she was so gentle, and she put her fingers in and she felt the baby's head. And she was like, it may help if you feel it yourself. And I was like, okay. And I stuck my fingers in and I felt the crown of his head. Like, and it did help. I was like, wow, this is happening. Cause it was very hard for me to visualize the baby actually coming out, you know, mm-hmm. like, even though I knew it was going to happen, I couldn't really picture this like little human coming out, but I felt him and it was real and it was going to happen. And there was one point during the pushing. So the pushing stage for me was maybe 45 minutes. And at one point, Kara said, if you want, if you can, if you stand up and sit back down, it may also move things along. And I was like, stand up? Like, what? No way. But I did it. I just, you know, I was in pain. I wanted it to be over, you know, on some level. And I stood up and I sat back down really quick, and it really did move things along. Probably in the next 15 minutes, the head popped out. And it was funny because I was like, when is the head going to come? And they were like, well, what do you feel? I'm like, if I still feel like I have to poop. And they're like, not yet. They're like, when you feel the ring of fire, you know, that the head's going to come. And then the sensation shifted. It was burning and the head came out, and the head came out like underwater, like, and it was underwater until the next few contractions where like he was breathing underwater. It was, and Gareth was there. He felt the head come, like, just hanging out of me. It was wild. And, you know, the next few pushes, the next few contractions, there came River.
Oh my God, I got chills. I didn't know you did it in the water. That is.
Yes. I didn't know I was going to, you know, it just happened. And we had the name River picked out before. So it was very appropriate, you know, that he would be born in water. And this, you'll find this interesting. When I was having contractions, this is before the pushing stage. I'm pretty much in a squat the whole time, like not a squat, kneeling and mm-hmm. leaning over the tub. And when I would have a contraction, I would kind of like, I don't know, be on my side a little bit, like stretch out a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know, and at some point there, you know, I was like, this is so painful. Like, what can I do? And they were like, look, you can try another position. You can try to go on your back. The next contraction came, I laid on my back, and it was like 1,000 times worse. And I was like, how in the world, like, why do they put women on their backs in hospitals? Like, I'm just glad that I felt that just to see how bad it is to be on your back, and, or just how much better it is when you have freedom to move, you know?
I like that you said that, because if someone has the opportunity to not birth on their back, it's for many, you know, some people might be fine. I remember I was, I did transition in the shower, and then they made me come out of the shower because I guess they could tell I was ready, and they brought me to the bed. And as soon as I laid down, I literally was like, "There, get me off my back." Like, it's just my whole body went from tolerable to like, get me off my back. And then she came out literally within moments. Wow. But it's interesting, if we give our body the permission to move how we want and the space to, like, you got to do what you got to do. A lot of people have that response, like, this is more painful. So just for those listening, just keeping in mind that you have options, and, you know, being on your back may not be best for you. And if it doesn't feel good, you know, let's look for something else. So thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. And, you know, and I was squatting when he came out. I was like full on in a squat. I was in a squat. I have to look back at the pictures. I may actually have had one leg a little bit out, like mm-hmm. to the side, but it was definitely like in a squat position. Oh my God. I haven't told the story in a while. So it's like giving me chills, like thinking back to it and like, oh my God, like just having him on my chest, you know, in the tub, and the whole tub at that point was like just a tub of red, you know, I felt it was like biblical, you know, sitting in like the Red Sea with this like child on me connected by the umbilical. It was so wild. And what was crazy is that like, and I kept saying like, I didn't cry when he was born, and I actually didn't cry, I think, for like 2 or 3 days. And I kept saying to Kara, I was like, what's wrong with me? Like, why am I not crying? She's like, wait until day 3. It's like, right now your adrenaline is soaring through your body. Like, wait until day 3. And she showed up on day 3 to check me out, and I opened the door like the floodgates had opened. I was just like bawling nonstop. And it wasn't just any particular reason. Like, there were many things, but it was just the hormones like releasing, you know, in the form of tears. But yeah, like it was wild. And like after he was born, you know, after a while, like I jumped in the shower just to wash up. Well, didn't jump. I walked very slowly and carefully to the shower, washed off, got to the bed, you know, they put the whole like diaper on me, and you know, they weighed him on the bed with like the old school little,
yeah, with the little thing that hangs.
So cool. Like, you know, I was like, just like, and call the midwives, you know? And you know, they helped him latch, and, you know, a few hours later, everything was cleaned up and they said goodbye. Actually, we opened up a bottle of champagne at like 4 a.m. Everyone had a little sip and then they left. And, that was really wild. Like laying in the bed, me and Gareth and River in between us, and Gareth and I looked at each other. We were like, who is this little guy? Like, what the heck are we supposed to do right now? It was so crazy. Like just being left alone, you know, after that very powerful experience, you're just like, now what do we do? What, you know? And luckily, you know, newborns right out of the womb, they'll sleep a lot. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they don't really need to eat right away. And so, you know, he just slept and we took turns kind of dozing in and out and watching him. And
you're like, I just had a baby.
I just had a baby. And honestly, like, I felt like, I felt very proud. I was like, I am like proud lion. I did it. I pushed this baby out, you know, and, you know, because even through all the 40 weeks and 5 days, like there's always that little voice in the back of my head that I was trying to, you know, quiet down, like, you know, you're crazy. that you're crazy. You're going to want drugs. Like that, there was that voice. And I was just like, shh, 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 shh. You know, I'll be fine. Like we've been doing this since the beginning of time. Like if the cave women can do it, I can do it.
You know? I think it's so important to own that, because I've heard people say like, oh, you shouldn't, you know, just cause you had a natural birth doesn't make you, and it's not that it makes anyone any better, but if someone ran a marathon, they wouldn't be, and they were like, I'm so proud of myself. They wouldn't be like, that's dumb. Why are you proud of yourself? Like you should be proud of yourself. You went through something that was hugely intense, and you should take ownership of being proud. Yeah. So I'm thrilled that you're saying that, because sometimes there's some pushback about saying, I'm really proud that I was able to do this. So we wouldn't say like, oh, you got your PhD, so what? Like you're proud of yourself. Right. Like, you did something that was huge.
Huge. And honestly, like I am proud of every woman who has a baby, like no matter how that baby comes out, like, holy, I mean, I want to curse right now. Like, holy
you can't, holy okay, crazy, holy whatever shit. You want to say. Like,
it is intense. And you know, if I was in a hospital, I probably would have wanted the drugs, you know, like it is so intense. And if you're in a hospital, if you're in a home, if you're in a birth center, no matter what, if it's vaginal, if it's C-section, it is hard work. No matter what. emotionally, physically, mentally,
spiritually, the whole thing. You're making that huge transition.
Work. And so I'm proud of every woman, and I am proud of myself too, you know?
Yeah.
It's big. Just having a baby, it's big. It's really big.
So as you're looking through this and as your parenthood is unfolding, was there anything that really surprised you, whether it be from the birth or immediate postpartum or even 3 months out? Is there anything they're like, holy crazy, I had no idea this was going to happen?
Well, okay. So the first holy crap, like I had no idea, was the business of birth. I did not know about that and how complicated it is to really get what you want if you know what you want. Like, if you don't know, whatever, then it's easy. Just listen to what everyone has to say and they check you 1,000 times for dilation, you know, probe you and whatever, you know, jug you up. Like, but if you don't know, you don't know. Great. But if you do know what you want, it is a lot of work to advocate for yourself, to get what you want. So, okay. That was the big, that was big. And then the other part was really the postpartum that I did not have any idea what after the birth would be like. Cause really I didn't read any of the postpartum books. I knew everything about pregnancy, the anatomy, the physiology, the, you know, the throwing up, all that stuff. Like I knew that stuff back and front. I did not know anything about like once the baby was here, like what it would be like, how to take care of a newborn baby. So listeners, go take that newborn baby class. That is one thing I wish that Gareth and I had done. And I don't know, maybe it would have been helpful, maybe not, but I think it would have given us just some tools to work with. How do you swaddle a baby? Like, I have no idea. And then really just, I don't even know if you can be prepared for the emotional, like, whirlwind that you're going to go through. Cause really, how can you prepare yourself for emotions? Like it's a lot. Like once the floodgates open, I cried for, I would say, a couple weeks, you know? And again, it wasn't like my life. It wasn't like, woe is me tears. Some of it was like, oh my God, what did I do? And then some of it was like, I'm so in love that I don't even know how to handle this. That was pretty shocking. I'm coming out of that, the darkness of it now. You know, I feel a lot brighter and lighter. Especially
those
now
first
that,
12 weeks are serious. You know, we call it the fourth trimester. I actually have a few podcasts about preparing for that. And again, how does one prepare? But it's more like setting up. Oh, I think it was Evelyn Gamma. She's a therapist, talked about like kind of check-ins, like emotional check-ins for you as the new parent and then your posse. How can they check in? And then having set up, if you do just need more support, what does that look like? You know, so having that mental space already cleared a little bit, because there is nothing that you can read all the books, you can talk to everyone, but each person's birth is different. Each person's passage in that matrescence, a passage into motherhood's different. We all carry different baggage and different ideas of what motherhood is and letting go of that. So there's no preparation, but we can try to have support ready for whatever we need.
Yeah. Like everyone's physical recovery is going to be different.
Yeah.
Like, oh my, like, and so, yes. And actually I think I listened to all your podcasts before I had the baby. I'm telling you, I felt like that was my full-time job was like reading about birth and all your podcasts, all that stuff. But there was one that I loved about the transition to motherhood that definitely resonated. It probably resonated more now, but it helped me realize like it's a rite of passage.
And it's bumpy.
And it's bumpy. And transitions tend to be bumpy, you know? And so, like, even though it was an emotional craze, I knew that it was normal. Mm-hmm. So that helped. Like, it was okay. I was okay. It was okay that I was crying every day, that I was emotional, that it wouldn't last forever. So having that alongside the tears was important, like knowing that it was, that this is part of it. So, that was, but it was still like, whoa, it definitely.
And you're, and in 3 months from, I mean, River's only 3 months, and in 3 months from now, you're going to look back and be like, holy crazy. Ooh. For 6 months. Like, there's just these, you know, as he changes and goes from, I mean, at 3 months, you're still very much, you know, a little tiny infant, you know, and then at 6 months, you know, like working on crawling and then sitting up, like, you know, so there'll be these different ups and downs still. But I think, I do think you're coming out of what is likely the toughest. So,
it's a big, big exhale,
So we're going to take a little break. And when we come back, I want to ask you, what was one thing you wish someone had told you before birth or motherhood, and then a piece of advice, and then where can people find us? We're going to take a quick break. And we're back. All right. So what is one thing you wish someone had told you before birth or motherhood?
Okay. So again, like we were saying, everybody's experience is so different. So, and everyone's baby is so different. Looking back, like what I would have done different, what I would advise, pregnant women to do is really plan out and set up your support, for the first like week or two postpartum. And I kind of had it, but not really. Like, I would have, if I were to do it different, I would have had one or two people come over like a few weeks before I had my baby. And I would be like, this is how I do the laundry. This is where all the dishes are. This is the food I like to eat. These are the groceries that we need. And it's not just like, it's not just me. It's also your partner that needs to be taken care of, you know, especially like, and this a little bit gender role, you know, but like, yeah, like usually the mother, the woman is more of like the nurturer, you know, the person who will like, I don't know, in my household with me and Gareth, like I take care of the bellies, you know, I take care of what goes in the bellies. And I couldn't do that. Like there was no taking care of bellies. And we really both needed to be nurtured. And we had, you know, family, friends come by and, you know, bring us food. And yes, that happened. But to have someone really know, like, how you like to be taken care of, like, where things are in your apartment. Because you don't really want to be directing people those first few, like, you don't want to tell people, this is how to do the laundry. This is where the toilet paper is. Like, you just want someone to come in and do it. No questions. Really strategically plan your postpartum support.
Did you have a postpartum doula?
I didn't. And I wish I did. I really wish I did. I don't know why I didn't set that up. There was a little bit of like, oh, I think I'll be okay. Because I didn't know.
Yeah.
But I wish I like really listened to the, you know, to the people that were like, that's a good idea. And maybe it wasn't really that, you know, dug into me. Like it didn't, I don't know. I maybe if someone pushed it a little bit more, but it's, you know, I take responsibility too. It's not like other people can make me get it. Like, I could be stubborn, you know, just like, no, I got this. I got this. How hard could it be? It's hard. It's really,
especially
really
recovering.
Hard.
If you,
you're
especially
so
like you had
tired.
This, you know, you didn't have, it sounds like a lot of physical trauma, but someone may come home with the cesarean. They are not getting up and moving around. I had some really strong pelvic floor stuff after.
Right.
I was not getting up, moving around. So it made things really challenging.
Like if you have a tear, like it hurts. Like you're bleeding for days, for weeks, for, I mean, there's a lot going on and you're exhausted. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, yes, adrenaline helps in the first few days, but then it hits you. Like you are tired. You just, you need help, you know? And, you know, you're, I think evolutionarily speaking, if that's a word, like you really do, like the mom has to like let go of taking care of herself in the beginning to make sure this baby survives. But that is why you need someone to take care of the mother. Yeah. Like 100% the mom needs to be taken care of.
I think I want to just say it again. 100% the mom needs to be taken care of. And mm-hmm. I think you said it like a lot of people are like, oh, how bad can it be? Mm. The mom needs to be taken care of. So mm-hmm. just, I'm going to get in my soapbox just a little bit. So if you're out there and you're like, I can mm-hmm. do it. Find a friend. Maybe, you know, hiring a postpartum doula is not in your budget. So find a friend, find mm-hmm. a relative, because it really can lead to physical exhaustion, which can really, we know there's a link with postpartum depression. So find someone. Yeah. The mama needs love.
And I'm telling you, like, it was offered to me, like, I'll say. And I'm like, no, I got this. I was being stubborn, and I wish I didn't act like that, because it would have been a game changer to have that help.
But thank you for sharing that.
We got through it. And again, and don't rely on your partner to be the caretaker, because they also need to be cared for. Even if they didn't push the baby out, like, they are also going through a huge transition. Mm-hmm. So, you know, don't rely on them for the things that really you both need.
Yeah, it takes a village. So what is one piece of advice you want to pass along to new and expectant parents?
Oh, this is actually something I was thinking about, like, take those first few days. Like, I was on my phone, like, texting people pictures, and I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. Like, look at this beautiful boy. Like, I responded to every email, every text at the beginning. I couldn't even believe, like, but I think I was like wired and like on some crazy high that I had this energy to do that. But really, I should have used that energy for other stuff. But like, and actually it wasn't even energy. Like, I should have been resting. I really should have been resting. And I didn't rest enough when he was born. I was reading a book, I can't remember, but where they said for the first 40 days in certain cultures, they will confine the mom. They'll take away books, phones, computers. They are not even allowed to read.
I know. I'm like, what would I do? I'm such an avid reader. I'm like, you're taking away my mm-hmm. books.
Because what is the mom supposed to do? She's supposed to sleep when she can. And like, I wasn't doing that. And so then it hit me, and it was hard. Like, I was exhausted. I was emotional, and I was responding to every single text. So I would have put like a kind of like a do not disturb mm-hmm. on my email. Like, I'll get back to you in 2 weeks. Like, give yourself a couple weeks to start responding to people. And I just would have not responded to texts.
Like, I think that's great advice.
Yeah.
Cause it's hard. Like, we get caught up in everything when announced, but that is excellent. Cause, you know, everyone's going to be there in a couple weeks. Yeah. So I love that advice. Yeah. Thank you.
Take that time, rest, and be with your baby, and, you know, yeah.
So you are also a yoga teacher. So when you also, just putting this out there, so not discreetly, when you're ready to start subbing again, let me know.
Okay.
Yes. Now that I know that, I believe you're starting to come back to that world. So where can people find your work?
So I teach my group classes, like my permanent regular classes, at a studio called Reflections Center for Conscious Living and Yoga. And that's on 24th, between 2nd and 3rd. I'm actually starting to teach two classes next week, and it will be a senior class and a basic yoga class.
Are you really excited to get back to that?
That what?
Are you excited to get back to that?
I am. And I've been to the studio a few times since, like, 3 times. And when I see people, oh my God, they're like, I get 1,000 hugs going in. And I actually brought River one day to the studio after a class, and all these like students of mine like came out of the class, and they were like so excited. And so I teach two classes there. I'll start next week. And I have a website. It's movementandyoga.com. And I do like a lot of little videos. And I'm now starting to do stuff that's more related to postpartum. Like I did a whole little wrist video that I think could be helpful for some moms. And I'm going to start off really slow. So that's where they can find me.
And then maybe listeners, maybe we can get Hedy coming up to Upper West Side and doing a little subbing up there.
Yeah, I definitely will sub when I can up there. And I would love soon, maybe in the spring, to start at Reflections, a mommy baby class. So what I'm going to do is go take the mommy baby class at Prenatal Yoga Center for a while and just like learn, you know, some stuff, and then I can take it to my neighborhood. But I'm this Thursday, I'm planning on going to Capisa's class with River.
Great. Yeah.
I love the class. I love the Prenatal Yoga Center classes. They were amazing during the pregnancy. And I learned so much from you guys. You were such an amazing support.
So, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, it feels so special because literally I remember being upstairs in my room and you're like, I'm pregnant. You're the first that knows. I'm like, oh my God. So just seeing this full circle. It's just amazing to see you glow like this and to have played the tiniest role. And this just feels so special, and I'm deeply honored. So thank you.
You're welcome. I mean, you played a huge role, and just all that you do and all that, I mean, the podcast, the research that you put out there, the classes that you teach, it's really, really important for women. So thank you.
Thank you. Well, on that very kind end, and I'm getting a little shy about all that. I'm a little
bored. Be proud. Be proud.
Okay. I'm going to say goodbye. Thank you so much, Hedy. Be well.
You're welcome. Bye. Thank you. Bye.
This has been an episode of Yoga Birth Babies, produced by Prenatal Yoga Center. You can catch us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Periscope. I'm Deb Flaschenberg. Thanks for listening.